we're going to continue with our message. I'm going to start by sharing a little bit of myself. And, you know, I think I can do this because this is something that really we all do. This is something that's not a great aspect of myself. You know, one of the most common temptations that I have personally is to say, look at what I did. Look at what I did. And now I don't say this out loud, of course. You know, I don't go to folks at church and say, hey, look at that Bible study I led. I really knocked it out of the park, right? I don't do that. I don't go home to my wife and say, hey, look at our kids. I am doing a great job raising them, aren't I? I don't go over to the neighbors, you know, walk up and down the street and say, hey, look at our yard. I did that. I did that. It looks so great. No, my temptation is not to tell everyone else, look what I did, right? My temptation is to tell myself, hey, look what I did. You know, didn't I do a good job on that message today? Wow. Aren't I really good at working with my hands? I love doing that. Aren't I smart? I can learn and figure out all sorts of things. You know, aren't I good looking? Not really. Not that one. But my temptation is to make my life, my family, my gifts, my accomplishments, my passions, all about me. All about me. And, you know, I feel like I can share this because, like I said, I think this is pretty common. I think a lot of us do this. And one of the things I find myself needing to say very often is, not me, not mine. When I'm especially proud of something that's happening at home or something that's happening here at Southwest Lutheran Church, I have to remind myself, well, this church is not mine, it's God's. When something neat happens here, I have to remind myself, the reason is not me, it's God. It's the Holy Spirit working in and through us here. You know, I always need to remind myself that it's not me, it's God. It's not my work, it's God's work. It's not, I'm not in charge, God's in charge. It's not my will, but His. It's not my purpose, but His. And I believe that this is true for all of us. You know, I think that we're very quick to look at our successes and we kind of magnify our own role in those successes while we tend to make God's role smaller and smaller. And at the same time, we tend to look at our failures, too. We're also very quick to look at our failures and we magnify our own role in those failures, too. And it's very easy for us to think that everything in our lives, good and bad, everything is about me. It's so easy to get into that mode of thinking. Today we're taking a look at the anointing of Saul. He was the first king of Israel. We're in this message series about anointing right now. We're taking a look at where do we see this in Scripture? It's this idea, this concept, this maybe just this word we've heard of. So what is it? How is it used? Where do we see it in Scripture? And so we've learned over the past couple of weeks that an anointing is when a person is set apart for a particular task or purpose. We saw 2 weeks ago that Jesus is God's anointed one, the one that God sent to save His people, the one whom God sent to be a good and eternal king for His people. Last week we saw how Jesus on that first Easter evening, He appeared to the disciples after He rose from the dead, and He anointed His disciples to go and to continue His ministry, to go now as the Father has sent me, now I'm sending you, He said. And Jesus gave them an Easter purpose to go, and He gave them an Easter power to forgive in His name. And when we look at Saul's anointing today, Saul's anointing as the first king of Israel, we can learn a lot about God's purpose and plan for our lives. We can learn that when God anoints us, that it's for His purpose and His plan, and not necessarily ours. So let me give you a little background of this story. There's two people we see here. There's the prophet Samuel who speaks for God. There's Saul himself. And Saul, at this point, he's just an ordinary guy. In fact, we didn't read this part in the scripture reading, but at the beginning of chapter 9, we're introduced to Saul. And this is how Saul is introduced to us. We just read that there was a Benjamite, a man of standing, whose name was Kish, son of Abiel, the son of Zerah, the son of Becherath, the son of Aphiah of Benjamin. Kish, the guy we read about, he had a son named Saul, as handsome a young man as could be found anywhere in Israel, and he was a head taller than anyone else. And so if he's tall and he's handsome, he is just like made for politics, right? It's his destiny. Not really. But that's what he would do. I guess those are good qualities to have in a king. And now Saul has actually come to Samuel for a totally ordinary reason. And I didn't include this whole story because it would have just seemed weird. Saul is looking for two lost donkeys. that ran away from his father. And it's kind of this big involved chase that he's on, but that's what he's doing. And the Lord had told Samuel that Saul would be coming on this chase, and that Samuel should anoint Saul as the king of Israel. And so that's what Samuel did. And this is a part we read, and we can read it together. As they were going down to the edge of the town, Samuel said to Saul, "Tell the servant to go on ahead of us." And the servant did so. "But you stay here for a while, so that I may give you a message from God." And then Samuel took a flask of olive oil and poured it on Saul's head and kissed him, saying, "Has not the Lord anointed you ruler over his inheritance?" And this anointing is what we're going to focus on today, because it shows us why God set Saul apart for this special task of being king. It also, it helps us to see why God sent his son Jesus to be the anointed one to rescue us. And it helps us to see also why God sets us apart for mission and ministry today. And our clue in this anointing, it comes down to one little word, and that is the word his. His. Samuel is speaking for the Lord when he says to Saul, "Has not the Lord anointed you ruler over his inheritance?" And so Samuel is telling Saul that God has set him apart to be the ruler of not Saul's people, but God's people. Samuel is telling Saul that God has set him apart to be ruler over God's land. Samuel is telling Saul that God has set Saul apart. He doesn't get to take God's inheritance as his own. He doesn't own it now. But Saul is caring for the land and the people on God's behalf. That's what's happening here. And this is significant because in the ancient world, there were no other kings that thought of themselves in this way. This did not happen in the ancient world. Throughout the whole history of humanity, kings really have always claimed the land for themselves. "I'm king, it's mine." Even people, through the history of humanity, kings have claimed the people for themselves. "I'm king, you belong to me." Through the history of humanity, kings have claimed the produce and the fruit of the land for themselves. Kings have the attitude that their office entitled them to all of these things. Because they were king, they deserved it. It's about them. And even other ancient kings, they even claimed to be divine. They claimed to be descended from God. They claimed to be gods themselves. And that was a big part of why they believed everyone ought to acknowledge them as king. But then when God anoints Saul to be king over Israel, when God speaks to the prophet Samuel, God makes his relationship to Saul very clear. He makes Saul's relationship to the people very clear. Saul will not own the people or the land. Saul is being anointed to serve. He says, "Hasn't the Lord anointed you ruler over his inheritance?" And so Saul didn't get to say, "This is all mine now," because the inheritance is God's, the land is God's, the people are God's, and the soon-to-be new king, Saul, is also God's. And I think today we have the temptations to look at ourselves, our gifts, our passions, our families, our jobs, our church, our successes, our accomplishments. We have the temptation to look at these things and say that they're all about us. We think this is mine. But if God has anointed us for ministry and service in the church, in the world, and he really has, God has not anointed us to serve our own purposes here. God has anointed us to serve his. It's not about me and mine. It's about God. It's about his goodwill for each of us. And you know, and just as we struggle with this reality that we are tempted to make things all about us, well, Saul struggled with that very same temptation. Saul was sometimes a good king. I'll be honest, he was often a not very good king. He was often a poor king. He failed to trust the Lord, and that led him to go and offer sacrifices, do something that only the priests were supposed to do. Saul would take oaths foolishly and pay the consequences. Saul disobeyed the Lord's commands. And then finally, when God anointed a new king, or a new man to be king after Saul, that would be the future King David, Saul became paranoid, afraid, and angry. Rather than submitting himself to God's will, Saul made it about himself. And so Saul, at the end of his rule, the whole end of his rule for years, was occupied with trying to kill David, trying to get rid of the next guy. And so he hunted David. He tried to chase David down, but Saul never succeeded. David became king, and God's will was done. And you see, this is the fundamental problem that comes when we try to make our lives about me and mine. It makes us unwilling to pursue God's purpose in our lives. And we pursue what we think is right instead. Instead of relying on God's word, we do what we think is best. And that doesn't lead us to life, forgiveness, and salvation. That leads us to sin. That leads us to death. That leads us to selfishness and unforgiveness. But when Jesus came, he showed us what God's purpose and will is. Jesus came into this world which is full of sin and brokenness. Jesus came into this world where we are so often selfish and preoccupied with ourselves. And Jesus showed us that God's purpose in the world is to restore all things, to restore all people, all things to himself. And more than anyone else, Jesus is the one who submitted his life to God's purposes, even to death. Jesus died on the cross. He rose again to forgive our sins so that we can live rightly with God, both now and in eternity. Through Jesus, God claims you as his own. Through Jesus, God anoints you to be servants, missionaries, the people of God, and a blessing to everyone we meet. And through his gift of the Holy Spirit that we have today, God gives us the power to do these things. And the truth is that when we can look at our own lives, when we can give up our own purposes, when we can give up our own plans, and when we can put Jesus first, that actually gives us greater meaning and purpose in all we do. When my life is about me and mine, you know, the best that I can do, the best I can hope for is maybe to make my own life better for just a little while. If I am really, really ambitious, I might have the goal to make my life and a few other people's lives better for a time. But when we live in the purpose that God has for his people, then our lives, our work, our effort has eternal significance. When we live into the purpose that God has for his people, then, you know, it's good. The pressure is off of us because we know that God does the hard work of forgiving, of rescuing, of saving, of redeeming. And we do the simple things that he asks of us, to care for our neighbors, to care for our families, to be a blessing as we can. And so today, I want to encourage you, as we go home today in a little bit, as we live our lives this week, I want to encourage you to do something that will help you to remember God, that God's purpose and plan is better than anything that you and I could come up with. This day, this week, pay attention to the things in your life. Pay attention to the people, maybe a spouse, a children, friends, coworkers, family, or neighbors, and say, this person is God's. They're a gift from God to me. my spouse, my child, my friend, my coworker, my neighbor, I understand that these people are people for whom Christ has died. And my relationship with this person is not about anything that I want. It's about God's purpose for this relationship. It's about God's purpose and plan. And we can pay attention, too, to places, to gatherings, to this church, to your place of work, maybe to your favorite restaurant that you go to, or to a park near your home, or your home itself, or wherever you may be, and say, this is God's. This place is God's. This group of people is God's. And God has not placed me here just for my own sake. God has placed me here so that he might make his power, his blessings, his grace, his forgiveness known through me. Pay attention, too, to your possessions, to your gifts, your passions, the stuff you own, the things you have, the things you have to offer, and say, too, these things are God's. God has given me these gifts, these passions, these possessions to help me do his will in my community. Because truly we know that everything we have, everything we are, comes from God. And we know too that Jesus' purpose in this world is to draw all things, all people, back to his Father in heaven. And God makes us his people through his Son, Jesus Christ. And that's for God's own purposes, not ours. And his purpose is to save. Our task as followers of Jesus is to learn, to grow, to begin to live into God's purpose for our lives. And when we learn to see God's purpose for our lives instead of our own, then we know our lives, our love, will begin to resemble Jesus. So when we seek to live God's purpose for our friends, our relationships, our marriages, and our families, then we know that we can love our spouse, our siblings, our children, our parents as the people they are, rather than maybe being disappointed that they're not the person I want them to be. When we seek to live God's purpose for our gifts, our passions, our lives of work, well, then we find meaning and value in all that we do, because we know that God has given each of us unique gifts and talents to use in the places we're already at to serve the people who are already in our lives. When we seek to live God's purpose for our church together, then we will bless our neighbors and share the good news of Jesus in ways that nobody can deny. Because God can change our lives. God can change our hearts. God can take us from my purpose, my credit, and it all depends on me. He can take us to his work, his will, his word, his purpose, and his power to save. Amen.